Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, here one more day with my daughter, Rachel, who's been here first couple of days this week. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to do that. Rachel's my youngest. She's 23, works for the Minnesota Catholic Conference, which she talked quite a bit about over the last few days. You could go to our website at renewalministries.net and hear all about that. If you'd like, you can listen to it right on your computer, download it on whatever device you'd like to listen to it at your leisure. Rachel also shared a little bit of her own personal testimony yesterday. I want to ask her today some questions about what's happening with millennials. You know, a lot of the news we hear these days about the state of millennials vis-a-vis the Catholic Church, it is often discouraging, but I think there's a lot more going on than we see. And so I want Rach to share with us a bit of her own experience and what she's seeing. So welcome back, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what's happening with millennials.
I'm kind of sick of all the talk about millennials. You know, we're people too, and we're not that bad, some of us. Not all of us are snowflakes, but I think people think there's a lot more happening with millennials than there is. You know, I think we're human beings just like everybody else, and we have the exact same desires. But I think because of some of the things we've experienced generationally, there's some unique challenges, you know, technology, cell phones. And I think the thing we get the worst rap for is being addicted to our cell phones. So I think technology is one. But I think technology is also filling a hole that every generation has, which is looking for satisfaction, looking for fulfillment and identity. And our generation just happens to have technology as an option to do that through social media. What I found in working a lot with my generation is there's a lot of distrust because of maybe broken family situations or just things that have happened to them, as they find it hard to trust people. And so then it's hard to trust a God that you can't see. And really just a lot of disbelief, I think, that they can be loved for who they really are and accepted for who they really are. So I think those are some of the challenges that I've found.
How about unique challenges for girls, for women? I mean, I know those are included, but it just seems like part of the work you've been doing in giving talks in different parts of the country, you talk to young women about the battles and the struggles that they're facing. What do you see?
Yeah, I think women, I mean, men have it as well, but I think women always have a very unique struggle with identity and looking for that, who am I and where can I be called good and seen as good and beautiful? And I think, you know, that's an age-old struggle, but I think with technology and with the societal pressures, women are facing it greater than ever before. You know, everywhere we turn, there's extremely unrealistic expectations for how to look, who to be. You have to juggle all of these balls, which I think leads into a lot of shame for women. And I think putting on a lot of masks. And so I don't think there's a lot of women that are being real with each other on what we're struggling with. I think a struggle that's usually been unique to men is now plaguing a lot of women too. I mean, I think in part of that search for identity, we're seeing the numbers of women struggling with pornography rising extremely rapidly. And so that's just not a male problem anymore. You know, some of the sexual stuff that is happening from the sexual revolution is really strongly affecting women as well. And so that's becoming a big struggle for women as well. But it's difficult because it's a lot harder for women to share with each other, I think.
Yeah, no, let's shift just a little bit. Those are some of the challenges that you're facing. But how do you see young Catholic women, dynamic women who are consciously trying to live as disciples, how are they combating those challenges?
Right. I mean, I can speak the most personally. I live in a house with four other women who were all involved in a community, in a larger community together that seeks after the Lord. And there's five of us. And we live a very intentional life, or we try to. You know, sometimes we stumble and fall, but we're really trying to live a life where we hold each other accountable, where we're praying together, where we're pushing each other towards heaven. And that plays out in a lot of different practical ways. And we also want to create an environment where we can be really forward with each other and helping each other call out the lies of the world and the lies of the enemy and really help each other live through the practical everyday life in our true identity as women.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of things do you do as a house to do that? Like, what do you, when you say as a house we're doing it, what are you doing exactly that?
Yeah, so we do morning prayer. And so sometimes we make it only once a week and sometimes we do twice a week. And so each person takes turns leading that. So sometimes we're doing Liturgy of the Hours. Sometimes we're reading a little gospel meditation and singing some songs of praise and worship, but we really try to at least once a week start our day with that prayer together. And then another piece that we do is weekly dinners. And so we take turns cooking, and then we set aside about 2 hours on that night. You know, we try not to do just an in-and-out dinner, but set aside a good chunk of time to sit down and share a meal and really share what's going on in our lives and be really honest with each other.
Is everybody involved in different kind of mission work or things like that, outreach of different kinds? Or?
Yeah, so we're all involved. I mean, we work in very different fields. Some girls work in the medical field. I do not work in the medical field. But we're all involved in a community where we have small group commitments, where we can be a part of outreach opportunities. But what we really try to do is hold each other accountable for outreach as well. So not just are you getting your daily prayer time in, but hey, who are you talking to about Jesus on a regular basis? How are you evangelizing on a regular basis? And I recently kind of had to check myself and realize that I don't really have anyone in my life right now that is not just making me comfortable. You know, I don't have anyone in my life that is not the exact same as me, you know? So I kind of had to check myself and was pushed a little outside my comfort zone and, okay, I need to step outside myself a little bit and reach out to some more people.
Yeah. What did that look like?
For me, I got a little bit creative because I've been wanting to join a gym. And so I was going to join one that my friend already went to because I don't like going to the gym by myself, you know, because I'd rather work out with just my friend and no one else around, you know. So I looked up to a gym that was pretty close to us. We live in Minneapolis, and they kind of boasted about being a community, and everyone kind of talks to each other there, and it's not isolated. So I decided to join the separate gym so that I could make some new friends and not just, you know, stick with my friend and be comfortable at Lifetime Fitness.
Yeah.
So that's just a small, I mean, it seems small, and it, you know, it is small, but that's how we do it. And that's how we kind of build those relationships in our life. It's not always, or it's usually not, oh, shoot, I need to do outreach. Let me book a trip to Africa and go work with the poor. You know, that's great if you do that, but we can outreach in our daily lives with what we're already doing.
You shared with me an opportunity or two the other day that you were given opportunities to share the Lord with people. I found them interesting, the stories you told.
Yeah, so it's fun when I have the presence of mind enough to actually listen to the Lord in the moment, which needs to be more often than it is. But we were at Immaculate Conception Mass on December 8th, and it was me and some of my roommates and some of my cousins, and we were in the back afterwards. Everyone had left, and we were arguing about where we wanted to go out to dinner. And so the Lord was working through that. And the custodian came up, and he was about our age, and he just started asking us some questions, and he said, he wasn't Catholic, but he cleaned up the church. He was about 22, 23-year-old guy. And he said, why are people at church not on a Sunday? Where are so many people here? And so I explained to him, you know, the church has feast days and then the church has solemnities, which are really special feast days. And this is a feast day for a really special person. So I explained Mary to him. And it kind of in the back of my head, you know, sometimes we have doubts about, you know, what God is asking us to do. And I was like, this just sounds weird. Like, this guy's just going to think this is weird and walk away. But I decided to give the most detailed explanation that I could without kind of holding back on Mary or the theology of Mary. And he was really blown away. And he thought it was really beautiful that people love Jesus so much that they want to honor his mom and that we feel like Mary's our mom. So we kept talking and he started to ask, he said, you know, there's a room here that even when the whole church is closed and locked, people still go in there at all hours of the night. I'll be cleaning at 11 p.m. or midnight, and there'll be people sitting in this room with the lights on. And there's this weird gold thing in there on the altar. And he was talking about the Adoration Chapel, because the church we go to has perpetual adoration. And so I started to explain to him what the Adoration Chapel was. And he said, oh, so people go meditate in there, because the Spirit of Jesus is everywhere. So that's just a special room where people can sit and be with the Spirit of Jesus. And so then I was tasked with explaining the Eucharist to him, which still in the back of my head, I'm like, Lord, this is just going to sound even crazier to him, you know, but it's all about trusting the truth, you know, trusting the truth of the gospel. So I said to him in the simplest way that I could, you know, you've been here at a mass when you've seen the priest pray those prayers over the bread. And so as Catholics, we believe that when the priest prays those prayers, it's not a piece of bread anymore, that's Jesus. Jesus' very body. And so when people go into that room, they pray before Jesus himself. So not just the Spirit of Jesus, but Jesus there in the flesh. And he was just I mean, the first thing he did say was, that's pretty weird and hard to believe. But he was blown away, and he kept thinking about it, and he would walk away, and he would come back and ask some more. And so eventually we decided on where to eat, so we started to walk away. And he, before I left, I turned around. His name was Pete. I said, hey, Pete, before you leave tonight, you should go in there. You should just go sit in there and say hi. And he kind of was taken aback. He said, just say hi. Well, what else do I say, you know? And I said, you could say whatever you want. You could just go talk to Jesus. He started laughing. He said, oh, yeah, I'll go tell him about my day. And I said, you should. That's exactly what he wants to hear. And he kind of stopped dead in his tracks, and he looks at me, and he says, Jesus cares about my day? I said, yeah, he does. He wants to hear about it. So you should go sit in there and tell him. And he was like, wow, maybe I will. And I never followed up with Pete. But it was just an example of a really simple opportunity to really follow just a prompting, you know? And I think sometimes we think, oh, people will think this is crazy, or this is too hard to believe, so I'm gonna give a skimmed down version, I'm not gonna share it. So it's just stuff like that, that as we're going about our daily responsibilities, as we're fulfilling, I find when I'm fulfilling the things that Jesus asks me to do, so even just going to Mass, mm-hmm. that he's gonna provide the opportunities to speak about him.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you notice when we have an initial conversion to Christ, then we move him from sort of the periphery of our life, maybe mm-hmm. he's not anywhere on the radar, to the center of our life. We say, mm-hmm. okay, now this relationship now defines who I am. Mm-hmm. How do I live this out? What do I mm-hmm. do? What is he calling me to? Mm-hmm. And I think what ends up happening, as you were describing even yesterday, as the work of the Holy Spirit becomes more alive in us mm-hmm. and we're docile to the Holy Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, we're ready to say, Lord, today I want to seek you first. I want you to mm-hmm. use me today. And the Lord tends to take us into three areas, and intentionally, three areas. One, our relationship with God, God the Father. Jesus wants to introduce us to God the Father. He wants to build community. He wants us to come together with those who share that common passion and common mm-hmm. love. We can open up our lives, like you said. We can be accountable. We can get the support we need to really live it. We can pray together. Then he also wants to send us out on mission. Mm-hmm. You know, and John Paul II called those the co-missions of a disciple: prayer, community, and mission. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you're describing that's happening. Right. And it's something that has become intentional right. in your life.
Yeah. And it's not just five women who are doing it. I mean, even just in the Twin Cities, there's a ton of Catholic young people who are really on fire for the Lord. And we see it here in Ann Arbor, too. And so what we hear about in the news are, you know, the millennials that are really struggling and, you know, the culture's going downhill. But there is really a lot of hope and a lot of good things happening. It's just, we usually don't hear about those good things because they're not as newsworthy, you know? So there are a lot of young people that are really on fire for this stuff and want to live good, disciplined lives where they're keeping Christ at the center.
Yeah. And so you can ask the question, you know, what is God? You may be listening to the program today and thinking, I don't know what God wants in my life, and I'm kind of isolated. My faith isn't as mature as I'd like it to be. I don't know what to do. Well, one of the things you can do is to begin to give the Lord permission every single day. Lord, lead me. Go to that Eucharistic Adoration Chapel. Spend some time directly with Jesus and know where he wants to take you. As I was saying, I heard one person describe it, the three great loves of Jesus when he was here on earth. His relationship with the Father. God wants to take you deeper in prayer. Relationship with the community that Jesus is building, his church. And then to engage the mission of Jesus himself, who came to seek and save the lost. And he wants all of us to live that life with him and walk with him in it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.